Chapter 4. Let's not do the unison reading. That doesn't work. Harry gets to be the groom. You get to be the bride. Paul's the
chorus.
And again, I'm not going to interrupt. I want you to ask if, and I will tell you if I don't know.
Are we going to start completely over?
No, chapter 4.
What was that last thing you said?
If you have any questions to ask as we're going through it, say on. If you don't, I assume you understand completely. Okay, the groom begins.
Big long.
Big hope.
What?
It's a big long reading.
Oh, a big long one.
No, just be one.
But she said, behold.
Wait. Rex, is yours marked?
Yeah, there you go.
Is your Bible marked?
Oh, yes.
He just lost his privilege. Will you read the groom part?
It's your fault.
Not intentionally.
It's your
fault.
I figured that of all the people here, Rex has had the most experience
as a groom. That's right.
So
he's got rice marks.
What did he do? What I miss?
He's spritzing and gargling with coffee.
Are we ready?
We're ready. Let's hear the golden throat.
Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like
Wait a minute. Now, so everybody understands that one, right?
You said you're talking about the
dove's eyes. I'm just going to wait till you got to the end and say, I don't understand either.
Huh? Everybody understand why the bride's hair is as a flock of goats?
No.
Huh?
No.
So why didn't
Yes, I remember.
Why didn't somebody say something?
I didn't get by.
When you were.
I didn't get by. Behold.
I forgot.
No, I just said that I wasn't going to say something unless somebody asked me a question.
Because if you see a flock of goats,
The bride's hair has highlights.
No, when you see animals on a hillside,
that's
a
different
term.
Yeah. But we know it doesn't have anything to do with the color, because in a minute it says your hair is as a raven.
Right.
It's just light sparkling.
No. The goat was the sin offering. And each hair on your head represents the false covering.
And that's why it's all black.
I do not remember that.
And so as each of these sins is taken care of by the sin offering, so it says this, it transforms. I mean that's why you have hair. You don't need hair. You have hair on your head. You have hair on your head, and it's not an individual, don't. The hair is on the human race's head because it symbolizes the false coverings. The thousand false places that you have gone for covering for your life.
So her covering was the sin offering.
Her covering was only the sin offering.
Sure. Is that why the Catholics, the women put something over their head to enter into the cathedral?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that their hair isn't seen. In Israel, it was considered the most shameful thing possible for a woman to let down her hair in the presence of other people. She could, and that's why it was such a wild, wild thing for Mary to wash Christ's hair with her tears. Wash Christ's feet with her hair. Wipe it with her hair as she washed it with her tears.
One year you told us about some virtuous woman.
She never saw, and she had seven, the timbers of her house never saw her hair uncovered. And she bore seven high priests.
Who did?
A woman. But the idea of, and just because you can't individualize this, or you'll get in all kinds of weird shtick, like Harry thinks that he doesn't have any,
He's most spiritual.
He didn't have a
call. Yeah, is hairy. But that's why the hair exists. It's the false covering that has to be transfigured by the blood of the sin offering. And that's why her hair is as this flock of goats. Anybody understand that?
Glad we asked.
It's a good thing.
And the reference to Gilead?
Gilead is where you always, if you look through the scriptures, always, whether it's David or the people that were being chased in the, Gilead was one of the cities of refuge. It was the main city of refuge. And it's where you go when there's any trouble. It's you run to Gilead, or you run to that place where when there's trouble. All right? We can just read through this if you want to.
No, no. He's going to try and get through a half a verse now. Because this one, Bloom loves this one.
Should we let him read through it, then go back
and ask the questions? Okay, why don't we read through your part, and then we'll go back and ask questions. That's what he thought that we were going to do.
So long.
Okay. Part. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep, some of even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy lot. Thy neck is like a tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee.
Okay, that's a good place to stop.
Sure is. Let's go all the way back up to the teeth.
Yeah.
Okay. Your teeth are in pairs and twins. I mean, there's a twin on either side for every tooth, right? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of teeth? To make the food edible, understandable, so that you can digest the food. That's why you have teeth. You could have been, again, God could have made us to be that we could have gotten sustained with water or with anything. We wouldn't have nothing to chew. But the way of the teeth are always symbolic, believe it or not, of preaching. It's the spoken, the word preached is one role, and the word understood is the other role. And there's all kinds of stuff that is complicated, but there's the number of teeth are that are in the upper and the lower portions are, there's all kinds of Talmudic arguments with regard to the meaning of sections of the law or the prophets or understanding it, which I'm not going to go into tonight. But suffice it to say that the teeth, the reason there are twins on as you go across is one is the spoken word, represents the spoken word, and the other represents the word internalized. So that there is, so that you sustain only on bread of life. Anybody understand that?
How about thy lips?
Look at even if you have no lipstick on, look at your lips. Look at someone's lips. Your lips are where there is. It represents the scarlet thread. It's the scarlet thread that was hung around the scapegoat. It's the scarlet thread that Jacob put forth. Remember, he was. He stuck forth his hand.
Yeah.
So it's the scarlet thread that was hung out of the walls of Jericho to identify. And so what it means, it's always symbolic. The scarlet thread is the reason, it's where you see the blood. And so your lips, if with understanding, then your lips will be speaking confession and forgiveness. And you will speak that which shows forth the blood. Does everybody understand that? So therefore you identify the way that the Tower of Babel the Tower of Jericho, the walls of Jericho, I don't get this right yet, the way the walls of Jericho are destroyed is by the scarlet thread hanging outside the door. Well, that's spiritually, that's prophecy. So when you begin to speak what's there without hesitation, then the whore is identified, and then there's repentance.
And the speech is comely.
And the speech is comely. Everybody understand that? Everybody not understand it? Do you understand now why it's so vital that you speak what's there?
Sure, the only way you see, it's the only way you can see yourself.
Right, because otherwise you grow up, not your wall is so thick that you don't even see what's in there. You've hidden it so well, you've conned yourself so completely that you don't know it. So the scarlet thread is Rahab putting forth that thread, hollering for the help of the Redeemer.
Wow.
Is that neat or is that neat?
That's very
neat. So when in number two, when it said, you know, that everyone bear twins, the twins are the teeth, is that what it's?
Yeah, it says, thy teeth are like a flock of, it's more poetic in Hebrew, it says, thy teeth are like a flock of ewes that are even shorn, which come up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins. Yeah, that the twin, it's a spoken word and the word understood. That's what digests the word. That's how you sustain only on the bread of life.
What Mike just said just really.
What did you just say?
About. If you don't say what's. If you say what's there, it's the only way you can see yourself.
Right.
It's like, where would the Antichrist hide? Where's the perfect place to hide? The perfect place to hide is behind your eyes. No matter where you look, you can't see behind your eyes. But by saying what's there, you can go, ugh.
Yeah, the purpose of prophecy.
Really,
you see, the problem here is that I've taught that the abandon yourself and prophesy meant just speak with Sarah and all that. They always thought, people always think, well, that means then that if I just say with Sarah, I'll never get in trouble.
Yeah.
That's the opposite. You say what's there in order to see yourself properly and let that exhortation and rebuking come from the brethren. So that the whore will be identified. Otherwise, you live in these illusions.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they say of this book that if the Bible is the temple, the Song of Songs is the Holy of Holies, because, you know, I mean, it's just filled with these kinds of mysteries that we don't understand. I'm not saying I understand them all, but I. Everybody shut up. How come?
We're listening to this.
About time.
Just going around and around.
Usually there's three private jokes going while you're trying to talk.
Man, there's so much that, you know, you've got to just trust God's revelation.
Just speak.
But, I mean, no human being could really apprehend this.
I've been studying it for 22 years. I mean, I'm talking for about 12 of those 22 years, it was like 15, 16 hours a day. Without the cross, it was all meaningless. Because there are other people who studied more than I did. They didn't see the cross, and so they can't understand that you have to view the scriptures through the eyes of the cross.
It's like when you hold it in, too, you can judge for yourself that it's good. You can always make yourself out to be good.
Well, you create, there are 1,000, the Talmud says there are 1,008 universes. And that represents all of the imaginary places that you can take yourself to. There's Oblivia.
Caracas of Oblivia.
That's really funny because I was working on a program today. And a variable that I named, I couldn't figure it out where it was. It was an automatic variable, and it was 1,008.
Mm-hmm. I see if Gary were here, that would be this Uli Uli.
Oh, yeah.
See, that proves it.
That proves it.
I had a thing this afternoon with Ronnie where we had a run-in, but it wasn't even a run-in. We didn't even... It was like...
Battle of the Two Popes.
It was an unspoken...
Battle of the Two Popes.
It was a battle of the Two Popes.
Funny.
But I didn't say to him, he just heard my tone on the phone. And then I heard his tone on the phone, and that was it. But it was, I mean, it spoke volumes. But that's why what Mike said hit me so much, because I didn't say to Ronnie what I had to say. Had I said it, I would have heard what was coming out of me and identified it for what it was. But instead, I didn't say it. And I found myself the rest of the afternoon talking. There was all this talking going on.
That's why you get so mad when someone comes up against you and you see really how evil you are. You get mad because...
Well, that's what happened. Like 2 hours later, Barbara said something to me and I got absolutely just furious. And it's because for 2 hours I've been talking to myself about what I hadn't said to Ronnie, which if I had said, I would have seen...
How evil you are.
How evil I am. How unbelievably evil I am.
And that's all that's necessary, because then you repent and you turn from self rather than trying to recreate your universe or trying to move in. Do you realize how many times, if the thing is right, then in your lifetime, in every man's lifetime, there's a potential for him to move 1,008 times into a new universe, not just a new neighborhood, in a new universe that he creates. And all of them are illusions, because there's only now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The only way you can live in now is to prophesy, to say what's there, to give it, to not give this mind a chance to go back or forth, because this is the Antichrist.
So when people used to read these, they understood it.
Some of them did.
I mean, if they understood the offerings, it seems like they'd understand a lot of it.
A lot of them did. That's why it says that many of these men were perfect before God. Because they saw the same thing you are. They saw the offerings. They saw the sacrifice.
I just realized from what Harry said, you know, his example between he and Ryan today about how, unless you speak with us there, there's no opportunity for fellowship.
Well, that's why you can't walk. The only time fellowship is not sitting around talking about Jesus. Fellowship is two or more people in the same space at the same time in that light, which is Him. But one of the things that, I don't want to leave you all with the impression that I know anything. Remember? You got to hear this. Any place that thinks I'm smart is really a dumb place.
Oh, that's this place.
Huh? Because, I mean, I mean, compared to what's to be known, I know nothing.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the thing, though. Compared to what's to be known, you're an idiot. But compared to me and a few others, yeah, you're pretty smart.
The law of comparisons. That's all there is.
But who cares?
You're more knowledgeable.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. It's meaningless, because...
Then only certain people really love.
Yeah, you got to hear me. I am you, and you are me.
Well, and these truths are not...
You understand? I mean, it's not... Yeah. It's not we're a bunch of separate, isolated individuals that have to worry about memorizing shit. We are one.
Okay, you just remember it better than we do.
Huh?
You just remember it better than we do.
Well, that's my job. I mean, that's why I was born. This is the only reason I was born. And each of you have an equally important function.
He's not as nice as we are.
Is that the one about the block of time rather than...
It is a quote that I thought of when he said that. It says, just quoting some doctor guy.
Did you raise your hand?
It says, no. As a human being, I find it impossible to relinquish the sensation of a flowing time and a moving present moment, he writes. It is something so basic to my experience to the world that I'm repelled by the claim that is only an illusion or misperception.
That's great. Yeah. They describe time as a block in our cube in which everything has already happened. It already exists.
I know.
It's wonderful. I got goosebumps reading.
All right. Where are we now?
Temples.
The pomegranate.
Temples and pomegranate.
My speech are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy lips are as a throat of scarlet, thy speech is comely, thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within one. It doesn't say peace. What it says is, it says it's a half, it's a halved, exactly halved pomegranate. The pomegranate, in its original form, had 613 seeds, and it was the paradise apple. It was the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So what it means is that's opened up, and so now your temples, your thought process, both right brain and left brain, are guided no longer by the self, but they're guided by he who has fulfilled that law.
In a way, it's like the head is become the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, which has been revealed.
It's outward. And that's why we smash it at the feast, so that it has no power. Now we're guided only by he who has fulfilled. That's why it's not smashed. It's just tabbed outward, is what it says in the Hebrew.
You read something the other day. I don't know if it was Melito or what it was, but it was instead of the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the phrase was the tree that knows good and evil. Right. That gave me goosebumps.
The fruit of the tree that knows good and evil.
That gave me goosebumps.
That was the way Melito spoke of it.
That's spooky or something. What's the neck deal?
The neck.
I haven't
read
there yet.
My neck. Is everybody understand the pomegranate?
Mm-hmm.
You understand it, that, you know, the apple wasn't, it wasn't an apple that Eve and Adam ate. It was a pomegranate.
It's interesting. So is this the thing about the wounded head, too?
The wound, and it's been, but you live in the illusion that you've been healed from this deadly head wound.
You.
All of you. All of us, human race, lives in the illusion. Christ bruised the head of the serpent, overcame it. But in Revelation 13 it says, the serpent, one of the heads, has raised as though he were raised from the dead and healed himself of a deadly head wound. Well, this is the deadly head wound that cut the pomegranate in half.
Pisses me off that they teach all this about apples. How did they get it wrong?
They're idiots, that's why.
So I thought you were saying that it was an apple. It's not an apple?
No, it's a pomegranate.
What is that?
It's a pomegranate. Most people don't hear. I mean, we don't see it. It's a fruit that inside the fruit there are these small seeds that are succulent and juicy and taste good and everything. And in the original, the way the pomegranate was formed before it was too cursed, is there were every pomegranate was perfect. And it had 613 seeds in it, which represent the 613 laws of Moses. And interestingly enough, there are 200, and the law is, remember I told you that your flesh represents the world. Your skeleton represents your office in the body of Christ. The law, there's 613 laws, 248 of them are what you should do, the positive law, and that represents the 248 bones in your body.
Women don't have to do
that. And 365 of them are negative laws, and that represents the 365 days of the year. And so as you understand this, then you understand that you redeem both time and you fulfill the skeleton, which is your office in the body of Christ, which has been covered over by this garbage.
Wow.
Is this too complicated?
No.
No,
it's not complicated at all.
It's not complicated.
And the bride doesn't have to do that.
Oh, yeah. And the bride doesn't do anything.
Just be.
The wife, the woman in the Old Testament, doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah. No, the positive law.
Because she is the picture of the bride, of us.
But she still has to be whatever her office is.
Yeah, but
yes.
Yeah,
so
no,
that's
no.
Natural.
No, no, stop. No, no. That's why in male, in the body of Christ, there's neither male nor female.
because we are a new thing. We're a newly created thing that is either male nor female. Anything that we are in the natural is only a parable of this one mystery.
Yeah, it was good for me to hear that because I literalized it.
Well, so do a lot of other people.
What do you mean?
The role of the woman versus the role of the man.
Positive part of it.
I have to literalize it too.
All right, everybody understand the pomegranate and the temples?
Right. Well, I got one little stupid thing. If it's an odd number of seeds, it'd be similar. It'd be hard to split it in half without splitting one of the seeds.
That's why you can't literalize the parable.
Probably used up your quota of stupid things tonight.
We must have been called splitting hair.
The next one has to be an intelligent herb.
Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory. What's that mean?
Well, it has to do something with strength, right?
Support for the temple.
Always in the scriptures, at the time this was written, the temple was always called the Tower of Israel, because in it all the mystery of life was fulfilled, and it was your only support for the head.
Cool.
And the shields are the shield of faith. That's why it says put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians.
And 1,000 really means like many, 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 many.
It means you're 1,008.
Yep.
No.
What's that?
1,008. It's a shield against all possible of these 1,008 universes. It's all faith.
What's her shield today?
Bucklers are simply what attaches the shield to the
individual.
Next comes the
line. Okay, everybody understand that?
So the 1,008 universes are attached to the temple?
No. The faith is what. No.
The shields are attached.
No, you stop.
Turn over. Don, can we have a ruling on that?
It says, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, comma, okay. All shields of mighty men.
Okay. Listen, have you ever seen, the Wittenberg Door did a incredibly brilliant piece.
Oh, do you want that horse?
No.
With your bucklers on?
Yeah. No. Are you shiny bucklers?
No.
See, you were complaining because it was so quiet.
What they did was they took the Song of Solomon and they from it drew a picture of the Bride of Christ.
Cool.
And it was 1,000 goats hanging off her head and a tower with all kinds of shields off of it. And it was called underneath it for our literalists' friends.
So you make a point. That is
good. For our literalists, Crystal.
No, I want you to see that each time we read of this, there's a different picture. There's a different view of this mystery. And if you try to take two aspects of the mystery and literalize it together, then you will always come up with a philosophy or you will go off course. There's only one story. And the tower is one thing, and the shields, the way the tower is made to be important, if you will, is it's the shields of faith that are the real support. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whereon hung 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. I'm not prepared to talk about what that means. There's a biggie there, but it's escaped me because I've tried to figure it out. So you'll have to wait in that one.
Next year.
Okay.
No rest.
Until a day break and the shadows flee away. The day, there's only one day. The day of Christ. The day the judgment day started when the sun went down at 3 p.m., when it darkened, when the earth was darkened, on the crucifixion of Christ. There's only been one day. It's the day of the Lord. And that will, when the sun rises, time will end. So that's why Christ said, the night cometh when no man can work. We have been in one day, the day of the Lord, since that mid-afternoon of the crucifixion.
Well, we've been in the dark of the night.
In darkness.
Well, but hear me. The day, the meaning of day in Hebrew, the day always starts with darkness. The day starts when you can see three stars. So that's the start of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, conceptually, is when the day dawns, that's the judgment seat. The rest of the day is all of eternity that we can't understand. We're not prepared to understand.
And the three stars would be Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Well,
the picture
we no longer need the sun or the moon and the stars. The stars have stopped giving their light to the Gentiles. The sun has stopped giving its light. The moon has stopped giving its light. The three stars could possibly, you know, there's a million stories why they say three stars. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the three attributes of this or that. I mean, the Talmud is full of explanations. I believe it is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, see, I mean, all of this stuff that we're talking about that sounds strange to you, for the first century Christians, it was their routine. They knew all this stuff routinely. I mean,
and they knew that this book that we're reading
was the Holy of Holies.
Is Christ singing to the church.
Right.
Pretty cool.
And this is a song, by the way. Okay. Now, this is where it really gets wild. Until the day break, until the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. The only reason you go to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense, those are both death. Myrrh and frankincense are terrible stuff. They're always symbolic of suffering and death. That's why myrrh and frankincense and gold were what was brought by the wise men. They predicted his death, they predicted that his gold, his glory, would only come in his death by bringing myrrh and frankincense with the gold.
And I see all this time, I was always just assumed that frankincense and myrrh were a great thing.
No,
because it was
no.
Cross is a great
thing. Myrrh, frankincense is only used in the offerings, and it's terrible. It's bitter. It's terrible to the senses. The only way it has any, when it's burned, it becomes a sweet savor. But it has to be burned like in an extremely fiery heat. Myrrh, its only use was for embalming.
Wow. Think about that. Wow. Hey, nice kid. Look, here's a gift for him. Some stuff to be embalmed.
Here's some formaldehyde.
Whoa!
You understand? I mean, the majesty of these guys traveling halfway across the known world, who were the smartest men on the face of the earth, the Magi, they were the ruling tribe of Media Persia. These were the rulers of that time and that kingdom, travel halfway across the known world in order to give this little baby frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Did the other people that were there, did they realize that that's what that meant?
I don't know. I wouldn't know. Probably not. This can only be, you can't know this stuff except by revelation.
Would you say, I don't know, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
It seems like if people at that time knew that it was embalming fluid or whatever, they'd been like, why are you bringing this stuff?
Very rare people. It's when you see it. I mean, Zacharias knew. I mean, it was rare that people knew. The revelation of Christ is the rarest thing in the universe.
He was revealed so many times, and even after that.
Well, look at his mother. His mother was visited by an angel, and yet she thought he was crazy.
His aunt knew.
I mean, you know, I kidded Crystal about forgetting the other night the epiphany.
Good epiphany.
What?
See?
Yeah.
See?
Where?
Why? You had one.
When?
You had one.
Why?
the Rahab deal?
We're going back.
Huh?
We're going back in that time.
No, but my point is that you don't remember. You're not supposed to remember. You're supposed to live in this moment. Because if you remember, then you'd build a church.
We'll build something permanent right here on the creek.
But if we are honest with ourselves, we don't remember this shit, right?
Cleft in the rock.
I mean, we'll forget it tomorrow.
Yes.
I'll forget it.
Old guy on the porch.
Well, I hope maybe I won't forget it. I hope I don't forget it. But that's my job, not to forget it.
Right. Well, that's why Harry has back in
Jerusalem. I should see. I mean, I don't even have notes.
What are we going to do when you get Alzheimer's?
I should have notes.
You'll be selling his tapes.
I just love that.
I don't know. You're going to be retired.
Then you'll appreciate me.
Yeah, $5 a piece.
What? Yeah, right.
You don't know this. Right.
You'll be taking him to the bus station.
For the first 10 years that we were in existence, I refused to allow anybody to tape anything. I don't know why. So Harry comes around, starts hanging around. You know, bumming cigarettes and stuff.
He smoked pot
and then get high and then come to Bible study.
That's what he was saying. Somebody told me that.
I mean, you're out of the demons.
Yeah. Until I taught on demons, and the entrance to demons was illicit sex and the use of drugs, and he listened to the tape while he was smoking a joint.
Then how he say?
No, you weren't. I love with you. So anyway, Harry taught me into letting him take these Bible studies. And the reason he wanted him taped was he's convinced that someone was going to kill me, and he wanted a retirement program. So he's got the tapes. All right, where are we? That will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Don't you understand? You are running to Golgotha. That's the mountain of myrrh. That's the hill of frankincense. That's the only place you're running to the cross.
It's death to yourself until that day, until the light of day.
No, it's death to yourself, period, forever. And the bride is resurrected. Now we are the body of Christ, the members in particular. There's no salvation of the isolated self. That's a pagan idea that entered into the church sometime.
But I mean, after that day, it'll be irrelevant, right? Because it says until daybreak.
When the day breaks, there's only the bride left.
Right.
All right. Everybody understand the first? Oh, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. What that means is,
no hidden imperfection.
Right. That the lamb, you know, remember we talked about for the Passover lamb, and for any of the sacrifices, they had to be, they were inspected for 4 days. Then when they were killed and cut open, all the innards were inspected. There's no spot in him. He is blameless and without spot, and he is our life. All right. Okay, everybody understand the first 7 verses?
Yeah.
All right.
Want to go on?
Yep.
Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from top of Amana, from the top of Shinar, and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. The smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates and pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon.
All right. It has occurred to me that we could spend like 3 months in the Song of Solomon.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. So probably worth it too.
And we talked about the other day that the
the groom is able to see the bride, but the bride can't see the groom. And that's just right here. He's describing the bride, and yet we can't describe him except.
Okay. Anybody got any questions?
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back.
Yeah. So we're gonna study this for 3 months.
The honeycomb.
Amana, Shinar, and Hermon.
Lebanon. Well, how about Lebanon?
Yeah, Lebanon might be a good start.
Oh yeah, Lebanon.
Is that where the
cedars? For some reason, that makes sense.
What?
It's like, for some reason, that just seemed right.
What?
That stuff about Lebanon.
It's a town in Pennsylvania.
No.
Okay, but what's all this other stuff? Amana, Shinar, Hermon, Lion's Den.
Why was she in Lebanon?
Huh?
Why is the bride in Lebanon? Because of the cedars?
She was at the hospital.
Lebanon represents the nations.
Oh, okay.
The nation.
Oh, that's nice. All of, not just a place, but all of the land.
And it says, I will take thee one of a city... I will take thee one of a family and two of a city and bring thee to Zion. And all these places that are now mentioned next are places where their suffering exists. And we can go through them in great detail, but I don't feel like it. It's obvious the lion's dens and the mountains of leopards. And
those are just parables for where we're at now?
No, they're real places where suffering occurred in the scriptures.
Not intense.
Okay.
So when it says from the lion's dens, does that mean that a lot of Christians were eaten out there?
No, it means places of suffering where things are happening that you wouldn't want to happen. So that you can learn that He is God of everything, and the secret of life is to rest in Him in every moment equally. And if it's something you don't like, you see it as the chastisement of God, not something to flee from. And then when you see it's from God, you recognize it's from God, then the chastisement has served its purpose. And He will then move you to a new dimension.
That's so obvious from this that it's not any one person. It's the description, this just can't be met by any one person.
That's right.
It's got to be.
Well, and thou hast ravished my heart, thou hast stolen my heart, my sister, my spouse. Now, I mean, the majesty of saying my sister, my spouse, is unbelievable. Because it has to come from the same seed. Our seed, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It has nothing to do with the vessel. The vessel is crap. The outer is continually perishing. It's not going to get any better. The inner is renewed every day and joined and knit together in love with the brethren from all places, of all times, of all. But thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse, because He has seen us from the beginning. You were chosen in Him from before the beginning of the world. And the Father chose us for Him. That's why it says God so loved the world. With the world, the word for world there is cosmos, which means the wedding garment. God so loved the bride that He gave His Son. Well, we've created a whole theology based on the misinterpretation of the word world. Every other place in the scriptures, the word world is ion in Greek. It says God hates the world. If you don't hate the world, then you're not of God. But here it says God so loved the cosmos. The cosmos, it's the word that it's the wedding garment of the bride. Therefore, including the bride. God so loved the bride that He gave His Son.
And also the misinterpretation of the word believe. Right. It's some shit you got in your head instead of your life.
Man.
Why the one eye?
One chain.
It only took one.
Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. That means if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out.
No.
It means even if you do that, He will still love you.
No.
I'm serious.
No.
It's better to go into the kingdom maimed. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? He said, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. He's not talking about your physical eye. That's what the Muslims... The Muslim religion is a fucking joke. It's taken from the Baptists. And what they've done is they've literalized these scriptures. And so the Muslims are the... All they are is they're the Baptists gone to seed.
That's when I won't make any money. That's a tape I won't make any money on.
Can I take this
back
for it?
Still hard sales, Eric.
Can we get it printed in the newspaper?
That'll be the discount section.
He'll edit that out. He'll take it.
Yeah. Can you see the doctrine after Harry gets through with it?
This part only got up when got coffee.
Just the part that won't sell.
Anyway, he said, if thy right hand offend, the word offense is a technical word. It means cause you to be entrapped. From the spiritual standpoint, the only way to be entrapped is in self-seeking. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. And what do they do now in the Muslim countries? If you're caught stealing, whack, your hands get cut off. If there are several crimes which they have defined as their eye being offended. So if someone is accused, and up until recently, I think maybe in some of the more weird Muslim countries, it still is, if someone is accused of having an evil eye, they pluck your eye out. Because it offended. Read the Quran sometime. All it is bad theology taken from this. Now that's why it says, thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. And that's what Christ was speaking of. So that it's better to go into the kingdom as a body maimed than not go into the kingdom.
Chain of the neck.
The one chain of the neck, I don't know what it means. I can speculate, but I don't want to without knowing.
What did Mary say just then?
I have no idea.
This next one about how much better is thy love than wine.
I told you that. Remember what I said? How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse, how much better it are, what it should say, and this is a bad translation, how much better are thy loved ones than wine. Loved ones.
Bride.
The bride is made up of a number of ones, just like grapes squashed together. We lose our significance into the mystery of the wine. How much better are thy loved ones than wine? Because wine is the parable. The loved ones are the completion of the parable. Amen? How much better is are thy loved ones than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all the spices. It's the smell of thy fragrance, the smell of thy thoughts, the smell of thy redeemed self, the thoughts redeemed to him, instead of your fragrance. It's not ointments, it should say fragrance. And it's more fragrant than the spices, because the spices were the picture, the parable. The spices were the model. Now the real has come into existence. The spices are the model of the prayers of the saints. Now the real has come into existence.
Oh, because the spices are what's burned at the altar.
We're going to see that in a minute. Are you starting to see there might be a little bit of mystery here? There might be a little bit of truth in this book. You understand how many times I know of at least 8 consuls that have tried, of the Christian church, that have tried to have the Song of Solomon removed from the Bible. As canon.
Cut the core out of that.
Get the Holy of Holies out of the mystery.
Because
it's naughty.
It's
sexual.
It's about a woman.
It's about the booze of it.
Okay, bride. It's time for you. No, wait a minute.
No. Still Rex.
We're hardly through this chapter yet, buddy. We've got to watch the garden.
Lips and drops.
Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Somebody understand what that is?
Revelation and...
Now listen to me. Don't just say that. It's got to be personalized. In the quiet times when you're alone, something is revealed to you that you find as truth. It's not, you've never learned it. Something... Well, that's the honey. The milk is the red, the word is understood as you read it. The honey is the private, intimate revelation between you and God alone. And so your lips drip. Drop. Your prophecy becomes one of only this private revelation that conforms to the mystery of God. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb.
You really, I mean, you can taste that.
That's right. Everybody get quiet again.
Mind blown. Takes a few seconds to... You're going, yeah.
Well, it's like more sustenance, and wasn't John...
Feed my John was fed on honey and carob. It says locust, but it's carob. Anyway, honey and milk are under thy tongue. Now the honeycomb is the container, but it overflows, and so the honey drops from the honeycomb. Under your lips is the milk of the word. Then this mystery when you speak. That's why it says we are always a sweet savor unto God, both in them that live and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? If you're living this, you will never be neutral. You'll either be life unto life or death unto death. Anybody understand that?
No, I didn't get that.
Don't worry about it. We'll get it later. And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. What does that mean? Garment. It's like the smell of Lebanon.
It's like all the stuff you put on yourself?
No, the garment, there's only one garment. Remember, the garment is the white linen which represents the righteousness of Christ. Why would it smell like Lebanon?
Cedar.
Right, it's the cedar. The cedar of Lebanon.
The
cross. Huh?
The cross.
Not only was it cedar, it was discarded cedar that was not of value to the temple that was standing.
It's me. Yeah, I'm ready to stop. I'm just like, wow.
You kind of want to rest there on that one for a while. A little
query. We can stop there.
Well, you can't leave out the next one.
That's so weird.
I can if I want to.
Like, and then the contemporary picture is then cedar being, you put it in closets, you build cabinets, you do all that shit, to protect these valuable clothings from the bugs and the.
Yeah, really.
No, you use more clothes.
Let's That's a good place. Let's stop there. First of all, I'm exhausted. Don't leave yet. So please, I want to talk just a minute. But I don't want to go through this. I mean, I agree. All this stuff can make your head explode. But it is really important for us to understand that if we can take the scales off of our eyes, every place we look, even in our suffering, is the same as this. Everything that we can look at says the same story. If we can make ourselves, if you stop being the subject of your sentence.
You know what I just realized? It makes your mind shut up.
Oh, yeah.
When you hear that, it's like there's nothing that you can just shut it up.
There's silence in the temple.
You hear something like
that. That verse about come with me from Lebanon, and then it lists the places of suffering. But it says, look from the top of that place, and come from the top of that place.
Right.
It's like wherever it is in any given day, Christ is saying, come and look from the top of this. Be above this. You're above this. You're not under it. You're above and not beneath it.
That's why you can
head, not the tail.
That's why you can glory even in the tribulation. You don't have to run from it or try to change your circumstances. Because he will place you at the top of it. But as long as you'd continue to try to affect it yourself, and you're locked in that lower sphere, there can never be life. That's why we've been studying in morning Bible study, it's concurrent with this, that you know, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against self. And you don't, it's not your own blood, nobody cares about your blood. It's resisting to the, or standing still, going to battle with this thing until the point where you see his blood. To know that you're perfect and everything is perfect in whatever and wherever you are at this instant. And it always is that same instant. And once you see that, and stop fleeing in your mind, then the lessons will not have to be learned over and over and over and over. And you'll begin to see the mystery of obedience. Obedience doesn't make you a wimp. Obedience makes you a saber-toothed tiger walking through the room and not taking everybody's neck off. You understand? Obedience doesn't have, isn't God up there saying, do this, and you go and do it like a little obedient little shit. Obedience is doing what God wants you to do before he says anything, because you know his heart so intimately.
Or your boss's heart.
And you see your boss. That's why you must see whoever it is as unto Christ, and trust that Christ is in that situation to show you this mystery. I want you to not take what was said tonight lightly, to see if it can be assimilated into your being, and ask God to make it real so that you live it and not just listen to it. Amen? Amen.
That seems like why it's not important to remember it, is it once it's installed. You
know, well, the important thing to do is to abandon yourself. He will live it automatically. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and we see him in all these things. As we see him, we shall be like him. And every man that hath that hope in himself purifieth himself automatically, even as he is pure. So all we need to worry about is the cross, which is the destruction of self and idolatry, and the revelation of him. Everything else, we're at rest. Just don't take self back. That's what the gospel is. It's terrible news to modern man. They've tried to make the gospel good news to modern man, and they're idiots. It's always been. It's the gospel of God. It's the good news to God. It's bad news to the human race. Anybody understand that?
It was bad news to the Jews, wasn't it?
To the whole human race. Okay, think on these things. Think big guy.